Amen. We all said together, amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Seed for sowers, bread for eaters. Before I get into the meat of what God has really given to me to say to you this morning, if I can just throw a couple of appetizers out, because when I look at verse 24, when they say a second time they summon the man who had been born blind, give glory to God by telling the truth. My God, I'll just throw that phrase on the screen just in the beginning of my thoughts this morning. Give glory to God by telling the truth. I could be stuck just on that phrase. Give glory to God by telling the truth. We have praised, we have sung. I trust you have clapped. I trust you've worshiped with us, especially in the room. There's something about praising God together, and God inhabits the praise of his people. And as best you can, if you have the strength in your limbs and the action in your body, you ought to give God praise for what he's done. You ought to be grateful for what he's done in your life. When I come out onto the stage, really shouldn't nobody be sitting when we start talking about how great God is and how awesome he is and how wonderful he is. And you really shouldn't act fake like you ain't loud, because let you win the lottery and you would make a whole lot of noise. Don't nobody want to say amen on that one. Let you get that Powerball. Come on, don't act like I'm the only one who sees that number on that billboard and thinks to myself, Lord, give me a number. Don't act like I'm not the only one that's thinking, ooh, John 9, 17, 24, 31, 35. All right. If your miracle came to be, if the thing you were believing God for happened, I bet you wouldn't be quiet if something really amazing happened to you. And we're not quiet. We're not a quiet people. Don't even act like you're quiet in this room. We're not a quiet people. This ain't no little quiet Presbyterian. This ain't no little quiet church. This ain't no little quiet Methodist. The kind of the skin we got, we are not quiet. We are the roof, the roof, the roof is on. We don't need no water. We let stuff. We shake, we move, we back it up. Don't you dare party harder for the devil than you get in church and get all conservative. How dare you twerk and back it up and then get in God's house and can't say hallelujah? Somebody better say something to me in here. You gotta learn how to praise God, because there's something about praising God that makes you sense him. There's something about praising God that makes you say, "Whoa, I feel God." I know that we don't walk by our feelings, we walk by faith and not by sight. But if you've ever been in trouble, if you've ever been in a dark place and you slipped away for a second and just started to praise God, I'm telling you, I dare you, I double dog dare you, I triple dog dare you. Try to praise God like you listen to everything else all day. We listen to carnal all day and wonder why we battling being carnal all day. Because you woke up in the morning with carnal and you went to bed with carnal. And so now all day is carnal. Just one time, wake up in the morning with your mind stayed on Jesus. One time, just put somebody on that sings something about the Lord and praise him and see if you won't feel different. It's a sad moment when we are learning, losing the ability to praise God. It's one of the things that's kind of come a little bit of the pandemic. We got to being in the house and watching through the screens, and we almost act like this is Netflix. This ain't Netflix. This ain't a spectator sport. This is something in which you participate. This is something in which you actually admit and give glory to God by telling the truth. The phrase give glory to God by telling the truth really does minister to me, because I know I'm not the only one in the room that's got a truth I'll tell and a truth that's between me and Jesus. There's a truth I will testify about. Who am I talking to? There's a truth I will tell you, and then there's a truth that ain't none of your business. There's a truth I ain't letting you know nothing about, and I'm glad to know that God realizes that even when I'm messed up and faulty, God still wants me to give him glory. We love to give glory to God in a churchy way, but can we give glory to God in a truth-telling way? If you have a hard time giving glory to God in church, it ought to be easy, though, for you to say, now, if it had not been for the Lord, then I wouldn't even have this. If it hadn't been for God, then I wouldn't even be in this situation. Actually, in myself, I failed the Lord. In myself, I don't have it together, me. I'll be the first to tell you, I don't have it all, and there's something that God loves about somebody that can be honest that they ain't perfect. He says, give glory to God by telling the truth. Then he says, we know this man is a sinner. I'll just stop there. I'm stuck there for a second. We know this man is a sinner. They're talking about Jesus. We know this man is a sinner. Can I tell you who you know is a sinner? You. They talk about Jesus. This is religious people talking about Jesus. We're going to get to that in a second. But we can take the phrase, we know this man is a sinner, and tap ourselves on the chest. We know this man is a sinner. We know this woman is a sinner. I didn't get no honest amens on that. We know, give glory to God by telling the truth. We know that sin is not something we have to be taught. We know that we're not perfect. We know we need the grace of God. But the thing that's so interesting about this passage is that this interaction that's happening is happening because somebody got a miracle that religious people don't think should get one. Now, I'm just going to speak that over you and me, because I'm so glad that God is not only working miracles for the people that church folk think should get a miracle. I'm glad his ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. I don't know if you've ever been on the other side of a miracle and try to tell somebody about your miracle, and then they want to examine whether or not your miracle is a miracle, because they're doubting whether or not your miracle is a miracle. And maybe they're doubting it because they don't really like you and they don't want you to get a miracle. Or they're upset that you got one and they ain't got one. Or maybe you just don't fit into the mold that they think is religious. But I'm so glad that God ain't about religion. He's about relationship. It's another reason why we're trying to get you to praise him, because you can't just sit in this room in a religious way. You have to build a relationship with him. But if you ever get a relationship with him, oh, he'll move for you if you have a relationship. Oh, you'll know that you know. What has happened is that this man born blind, Jesus has healed him. And after the healing, there's an examination. There's an examination by the establishment. There's an examination by the ones who are in control. There's an examination by the powers that be. There's an examination of the folk who are benefited by the current world order. There is an examination of the people that are bothered by the fact that God healed a broke somebody, or blessed a poor somebody, or healed a messed up somebody. There's folk who that kind of miracle goes counter to the rules that they have set for the game. And so as a result of that, there's an examination of the miracle. For most of us, when we think of a man born blind, once he was blind, now we see, especially in a time where we don't just see miracles like that every day. We think to ourselves, that miracle would make us run and go crazy. Imagine the depth of being stuck in the dark when somebody is healed from blindness and you got a problem with it. Imagine the depth of the dark of the church at this time. I'm not talking about now. I'm talking about biblical times. You apply it how you want. Jesus is born into a time and a world in which if he does too many miracles on the wrong day, somebody will have a problem with it. There are rules around the miracles. Now, I don't know if you grew up with a lot of rules. I grew up with a lot of rules. Let me see if there's anybody who grew up with a lot of rules. I grew up with a lot of rules. Where are you? Wave at me. If you're watching and you grew up with a lot of rules, just put something in the comment. I grew up in a holiness church. It's a highway to heaven. None can walk up there but the pure in heart. If you not walking, stop while I'm talking. I grew up where they were picky about what you wore, where you went. You had to be conscious of your witness. I grew up where you couldn't go to the movies. See, now some folks is like, ooh, I don't know. I couldn't have been to that church. I know. Let alone, you couldn't go to the movie house. You couldn't. You had to be careful everything you did. There were a lot of rules for what you did. A lot of rules to be in that church. Couldn't wear no sneakers. Couldn't wear no, I mean, I wear my tennis shoe. I put a tie on sometimes. I put a suit with the sneakers and the tie with the sneakers and the jeans because I'm still conflicted. There's still a little part of me on the inside that don't feel right dressed like this in church. I wish I had a witness in the building. You had to put your church clothes on. When you got home from church, your mother said, go take your church clothes, because you had your church clothes, and you had your school clothes, and you had your play clothes. And your play clothes was all the stuff that didn't fit, was raggedy and torn, that you didn't hand down to your sister. What I'm saying to you is that I grew up with a lot of rules, but there weren't no rules around miracles. If a miracle took place, they were just glad for the miracle. In Jesus' day, there are so many rules that there are rules around miracles. So much so that Jesus has to make a statement and say, Sabbath was made for man, not man for Sabbath. Jesus says to them, wait a minute. Are y'all trying to tell me that y'all can circumcise a child on the eighth day if it falls on the Sabbath to keep in line with the law of Moses, but I can't heal a man on the Sabbath? So we can circumcise a child on the Sabbath, but I can't heal a man's whole body on the Sabbath? I know I'm not the only one that at right now, at this moment, is in service or you're watching online with bated breath, believing God for him to do something that will blow everybody's mind. I know I'm not the only one right now that is saying, Lord, I need a miracle from you. God, who am I talking to in the room? Who am I talking to around the world? Lord, I need the scholarship. God, I need a job in my field. Lord, I need you to open up this door. God, I need you to make a way where there is no way. The miracle I need, I don't need no rules around when the miracle can take place. And when the miracle does take place, I'll be a monkey's uncle before I submit my miracle to your Holy Ghost examination to decide whether or not I deserve it or not, or whether or not I got it at the right time or not, or whether or not I said enough ikamashundas to get it or not, or whether or not I threw up in enough buckets or were delivered enough. I'm just going to be so glad that my miracle took place. I'm going to be so glad that God moved, that I'm really not going to be all that interested in your opinion. And that's where this blind man gets to. He finally gets a little fed up. At first, when they're asking, he just thinks, you must want to hear my testimony. I don't know if you've ever been in this situation where somebody says to you, well, what happened? And you're just like, oh, let me tell you, oh my God, this is what happened. And you're just telling them your testimony because you think that they just want their faith inspired. But then when they ask you another question, you start to say, now, wait, what exactly are you trying to say? Now, hold on. Are you doubting that God moved for me? What are you saying? And inevitably, you'll get fed up. This happens to this man born blind. He just gets fed up. And he says something in verse 24, in verse 25, that I love, and really brings me to what I really want to talk about this morning, in which he says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. I love this, because this is us. This is us, because this is a results perspective. I'm going to put that word on the screen, results. This is a results perspective. And beloved, if anybody can relate to a results perspective, it's us. We care about the results. I don't need the details. I just need the results. You ever watching a TikTok? If you watch TikTok and somebody comes on and they're going to tell you, I'm getting ready to tell you how to make a blah, 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 blah. And it all depends on the mood you're in. Sometimes you just want to see something silly. If somebody tries to give you too much information about how they got there, you kind of don't really want to know. You'll like it and save it and say, I'm going to watch it later. But you got a stack full of stuff like that that you ain't watch, because we don't really care that much about the how. We are a what world. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who's fixing something for you that they know. They'll try to tell you. Go to a Jiffy Lube place or go to a place like that, and they'll come around to you. They'll start to try to explain to you, well, see, this is your air filter. This is your this. This is your that. And there's a part of us that's kind of like, I don't want to know how you fix it. Just fix it. You ever been around someone that's a constructioner, or they're fixing your refrigerator, and they're sometimes they'll just start talking to you. See, what's going on here is that if you notice here, there's a see here, and you're just kind of like, dude, I want to watch TV. I want to bring you in, and I just want results. I don't necessarily need to know all the hows. I don't necessarily need to know all the whys. Just give me the results. I don't know if you all know this or not. Probably do. You maybe have heard that I can bake, and I can't cook at all, but I can bake about 20 cakes from scratch. And so I've done some baking, and I decided I was going to have I was going to make strawberry shortcake. I don't know if you've ever been to Cheesecake Factory and had their strawberry shortcake. Not the cheesecake, but it's just strawberry shortcake. I'm not doing a commercial for them, although I will gladly accept something if they would like to. But all I'm saying is that I had the strawberry shortcake there. I love the strawberry shortcake there. And then I decided that I was going to make it so I can have it whatever I want. And it was just one of the most difficult things to make. I couldn't quite get the biscuit to be biscuit and not cake, and cake enough to not be biscuit. And inevitably, I said, listen, at the end of the day, if I want it bad enough, I'll just go to Cheesecake Factory and order it. Somebody said, because I posted something during the consecration. I haven't been eating Reese's peanut butter cups, and I've got a feeling about Reese's peanut butter cups. And I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want y'all to know my drug, but I have a feeling about Reese's peanut butter cups at this point. And I was in a Walmart, and I saw a bunch of them, and I just took a picture, and I started singing I Miss You from Climax. I don't know how many of y'all remember that song. Thought I heard your voice yesterday. Then I turned around to say that I love you. Then I realized it was just my mind playing tricks on me anyway. And so I posted that, and there's no other way to say it. I can't deny it. And then somebody sent me a text that said, do you know what's in a Reese's peanut butter cup? And I said, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I don't know. I don't want to know. Do I know what's in a Reese's peanut butter cup? Holy Ghost, that's what's in it. Goodness in Jesus, that's what's in it. I don't know if that's ever happened to you where you start to show interest and then you're like, never mind. Watch some show with Gordon Ramsay, and he's someplace where they're making barbecue, and they say, hey, I have some old lady, 83 years old, who makes the barbecue. And I'm sitting there thinking, wow, that barbecue looks so good. I wonder how she makes it. And when she said, well, you got to get up at 4 a.m., I just turned the channel. 4 a.m.? You are got to be out your mind. I got to get up at 4 a.m. to make ribs? The sauce? That's okay. Whether or not it takes that or not, I don't care. They put their foot in their sauce. I don't care what they did to that sauce. Once I was blind, now I see. The blind man says, look, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know, not really sure I even care. What I'm interested in is the results. I just want to know, does it work? I just want to know, will I be okay? I just want to know, will this thing happen for me? I am more miracle focused than connection focused. And I get it, and it's amazing, and it's awesome, but also it can be problematic because, as you can see from the story, and I throw this on the screens for you to think about, is that it is possible to be healed by a miracle and not know God. It's absolutely possible to come to the other side of a blessing and not know God better. It's possible to be so focused on the miracle that you miss the real benefit of the tough place. Because the benefit of the tough place is it drove you to seek something that you couldn't find on your own. If you haven't learned this yet, I'm sharing it now. Hard places make you pray. Can I get a witness in the building? You not sure you gonna graduate? You will talk to God. You not sure if you got enough this together? You will call on the Lord. You start hearing rumors that they about to lay half the staff off. Look and see how saved you get. And it's possible to go to God in that moment. God save you from the layoff. And you come to the other side of it and don't know him better. Now, praise God for your miracle. That's amazing. I love that. But you missed the real benefit of the difficulty. The real benefit of the difficulty is to know God better. There is no greater thing that could ever happen for you than for you to know God better. And I would contend, and I'm contending today, that sometimes the Lord allows stuff to happen to us just because he's trying to get us somehow to want to know him better. I learned the hard way that God let me go through a hard place. He didn't miracle me as quickly as I wanted because he had done that before. And it didn't help me know him better. And he needed me to know him better because he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He lives outside of time. He could see that there was something that was going to come in my life that I would not be able to survive if I didn't know him better. Can I get a witness in the building? I know I'm not the only one. You came to the, by the time God healed, by the time God turned it, by the time that took place, it took a while. Wasn't no quick miracle. But when you came to the other side, you knew him in a whole nother way. You knew him in your soul. You knew him like your grandmama knew him. You knew him beyond the results. And then something came your way that you would not have survived if you didn't know him. They asked the man born blind, who healed you? His first response is Jesus, meaning that what did he know? Well, the first thing he knew was the name Jesus. He knew the name Jesus. That's a lot like us. We know the name. Our mama said the name. Our grandmama said the name. Our great-grandmama said the name. When they said Jesus, and there's a power in the name of Jesus and a healing in the name of Jesus. When I was younger, they used to make us spell it out. Give me a J. Give me an E. Give me an S. Give me a U. Y'all didn't know. In your youth group, give me another S. What's that say? Jesus. And there's power in the name of Jesus. Some of us, if something bad happens, we say, Jesus. Hopefully. Some of us are like, that's not really. I don't say that. But what I'm saying is Jesus can just pop out your mouth and you know the name almost like abracadabra, almost like a special magic word like Jesus. Like you just pray in the name of Jesus, in Jesus' name, because it's what you were taught. He knew the name Jesus. They come back to him again and they say, no, come on, man, give glory to God. He says he's a prophet. So the next thing that he knew was he knew the prophetic aspect of it. He believed in the prophecy. He believed that God could give him a vision. He believed in the supernatural prophetic vision part of it. And I know I want that. I want a word. I didn't always want a word, but I want a word now. I want God to give me a glimpse into where stuff is going. I understand the prophetic, but that's still not totally all there is to know. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But this one thing I do know, once I was blind, now I see. The third thing he knew was power. So he knew the name Jesus. He thought Jesus was a prophet. He said he has power. And there again, that's us. We know the name Jesus. We believe in the prophetic anointing. And we're looking for the power of God. We're looking for God to break the yoke. We're looking for God to move in a certain way. We're looking for God to be something for us. If it sounds like I'm being critical, I'm not, because that's what I need. I need the name of Jesus all over everything. I need the blood of Jesus all over. We sing about the blood of Jesus. I need the blood. I plead the blood. I need a prophetic. I need the anointing. I need a glimpse. I need God to tell me where to go. And I certainly need his power to fall. I certainly need his power to fall. I know you need his power to fall. But then Jesus goes and finds him and says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Meaning, beyond your miracle, do you know me? The blind man says, tell me who he is, and I'll believe in him. I'm ready if I can know. He says, you're talking to him. The Bible says he believed and worshiped, but it still leads us to a thought that I want us to examine, and that is, can you know God? Isaiah chapter 55, and I'm going to jump there, and I'll share a little bit. Isaiah 55, in verse 6, it says, seek the Lord, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. The passage implies that there are times to find him better than others. I know we just think we can always find him, but Isaiah is saying, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord in the season in which you can find him. Don't take for granted when you get around somebody and you hear a word. Don't take for granted when you hear someone and you understand what they're saying about the scriptures. That don't happen lightly. Seek God in the moment when the window is open. And let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts. Meaning there's ways in his thoughts. My God, let him return to the Lord. God will have mercy to our God. He will abundantly pardon. Return to God. He's merciful. Return to God. He's not counting our sins against us. Return to God, because verse 8, which is where we started this morning, for his ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are God's ways higher than our ways, and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. In other words, God ain't like you. Anybody glad God ain't like you? I need another witness. I said, anybody glad God ain't like you? Because one minute you like somebody and the next minute they can get on your nerve. Aren't you glad that God ain't like you, ain't like us, ain't like people? He says, look, God is so much different than you that it's the distance between the heavens and the earth. It's an important concept to keep in mind, especially for everybody who want to act like they know God so well. Let me tell you how you meet somebody who really know God. Somebody who really know God, really know him, will say to you, I know God, but he still surprises me. Just when I think I have him nailed down, he does something that blows my mind. Oh, I wish I had a witness. Just when I think I've got all the rules in place, as a matter of fact, God got a way of doing things, and I like how he do what he do, because he'll actually take the foolish to shame the folk who think they know. I wish I had a witness in the building. God will take the last person you think he'll bless and put them over you if you ain't careful. Because knowing God is an ever-growing process. And what we have done, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I end up here all the time in my modern theologian role, but what we have done is we have limited the personality and character of God because we are uncomfortable with the part of him that we can't know. So we want to place rules in like what we would do. Even though Isaiah said, no, wait. As high as the heavens are from the earth, so are his ways higher than your ways, and his thoughts higher than your thoughts. As a matter of fact, he ain't like you. So if it's too logical to you, that may be the very thing that God will do. But we want to bring our generational, cultural interpretation to theology, box God into the Bible, and then not allow for a God that's even bigger than what we thought he was. I didn't get a lot of amens on that one, but it's true anyhow. Because the God of the Bible is still moving today. He's alive. And the whole point of him being alive is for you to know him. Then verse 10, where I'm trying to get to title of the sermon, is as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, waters the earth, make it to bring forth and bud, that it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it'll prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Most of us, myself included, have a tendency to approach God and the scriptures as eaters and not sowers. The question is, what are you? Are you an eater or a sower? This is a watermelon seed. This is a biscuit sandwich with cheese. Bacon, hallelujah, from Bojangles. Which are you interested in right now? Come on. Come on, be honest now. Is this College Sunday? Come on, talk to me. What would you rather? What do you want right now? Talk to me, Chris. What you want? You know you want this sandwich. You want both? No, you don't. What is more appealing to us? Bread for the eater or seed for the sower? My contention is our current world, technology, society, and the way we live the world has made us all a great big bunch of eaters. Eaters is all we are, so eaters is the only way we seek God.
Wow. That's good.
We are consumers, son. We are consumers. We see everything as if it's a great big drive-through, Anthony. And you're missing the real blessing of God, because the real blessing of God is not this. If this is all you see with God, you are missing the real knowledge of Him. The real knowledge of God is this. When the Lord says through Isaiah, look, this is how my word will be that goes forth from my mouth. It will be either this to you or this to you. And if you can only deal with a God that gives you something nicely wrapped up that you can see, then you are missing the real power of the kingdom. If the only way for you to think about God is through this little plate of, if this is how you see God, if your knowledge of God is, yep, I'm going to go in there, I'm going to tune in, and I'm going to see, what are they going to feed me? What they got, what they got. Well, I like them because they got this, and I like them because I felt God, and I like them because when I went there hungry, I left with something sweet and juicy and good, and it filled my belly, and it filled my need, and I got to meet someone, and I got that, and that is how I see God. We're such eaters, we don't even know what it takes to get this. We have absolutely no idea how this got here. We got this at Harris Teeter. Come on. We got this at Whole Foods. There was a time when the Bible applied much more. It was much more relatable to people because people understood how to get this. You didn't get this without this. We don't know how to get this. We don't do no work to get it. We ain't got no dirt under our nails. We don't understand seasons. We don't know when to plant, what to get what. We don't know how to prune. We don't know how to spray. We don't know how to pick. All we know how to do is eat. And this is especially true for my people. I know I got folk watching me all over the world of all kinds of different colors and nationalities, but I'm a black man, and I got something to say to black people. Black people, we love to eat. We love to spend. We love to take what we have and spend it on something that we can eat. We love new clothes. We love new shoes. We love new jackets. We love new cars. We love the latest phones. We love for everything to be laying. We love our feet to be buffed. We love our nails done. We love our weave tight. We love our micro links, hallelujah. We love our braids to lay. We love to take a selfie like, oh, we love fruit. And have no idea what to do with seed. Who am I talking to? We don't understand investment. Come on, son, we don't understand investment. We don't understand investment. We don't understand property. You drive around here, just in our area, but wherever you may be around the world, I don't want to make it overly local, but you drive around here, they just throwing up apartments like crazy. That's all they building is apartments because y'all are eaters. Y'all are eaters. You like the amenities. Ooh, they got a pool. Ooh, they got a tennis court. You drive by there, yeah, and you end up paying for an apartment what you could pay for a home. Good God, Who am I talking to? And now you are so happy about the fruit in your mouth that you don't realize you have missed the whole point of the gospel. Because the point of the gospel is to be a sower, not an eater. The idea of this is that you plant this watermelon seed in the ground, you will get watermelon with seeds. Can I talk to somebody in the room? You will plant this, you'll get a fruit full of these. You don't even have to eat them. You can eat that fruit and keep the seed. Plant dumb seeds, and you'll end up with 100 watermelons full of seeds. Plant them seeds, and you'll end up with 1,000 watermelons with seeds. Plant them seeds, and you'll end up with 10,000 watermelons with seeds. I'm just going to reach my hand over this room right now, and I'm going to speak seed power over you and me. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to ask God to deliver us from being eaters. Lord, break eating off of us. We ask you to deliver us from so much. Deliver us from eating. Deliver us from blinging. Deliver us from shining. Deliver us from balling. Deliver us from trying to impress people like we got money and we broke. Deliver us. Deliver us. Deliver us from the lure of fruit. Set us free. We were taught wrong. Now, God, teach us your way. We don't need you to just teach it to us in a spiritual way. We need you to teach it to us in a financial way. Teach it to us, God, in a practical way. God, you do so much for us spiritually in this room. But right now, God, we're asking you supernaturally to reach inside of us and give us a wisdom we could not have. Give us a nose for deals. Give us a hunger for property. Give us a hunger for land. Give us a hunger for our own thing. This is how your word works. We can either see it as food or see it as seed to sow. So God, right now, we ask you to forgive us from just being eaters. Forgive us for only being consumers. It's barely our fault. We were born blind. We were born with phones. We were born with remote controls. We were born with HD. We were born with 1,000 channels. We were born this way. Entered into a world that did not require us to work to eat. But God, I pray that you will not allow the ultimate deception of this generation, this current time that we're living in, for all of us who are still here, from boomers to Xers to millennials to the Zs, all of us who are still here, God, teach us the truth of seed power. Help us to look at what we have as seed. Promise to praise you for what you do, what you say. Open our eyes that we might see. We want a vision. And we don't just want a vision of your spirit. We want a vision of your earth. Let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in us. In Jesus' name. We all said together. If you're believing God for that, put your hands together with me and bless the Lord. Come on, if you heard a word from the Lord today, put your hands together and bless him. Can I get you to give? Can I get you to sow a seed into the work of the kingdom of God? Just something small. Can I get you to do that? We are on our way to this new building, and we don't have a whole lot of time left in this space. Our lease is up. If you need an offering envelope, you can simply raise your hand. One of the gatekeepers will come to you and give you an offering envelope, and we'll throw the barcode on there, and you can take a picture of it, and you can give. If you've made a pledge to Victory Park, we need you to pay on your pledge. If you have not made a pledge to Victory Park, we need you to make a pledge. And I'm having meetings with bankers and having conversations with them. And we're on our way to a wealthy place, and God has given us a vision. And we've been in these lease spaces all the way since 2007, really. And we started off in what is now children's ministry space with about 30,000 square feet of space in 2007. We moved into here in 2012. We've been in this space now for 10 years. And praise God for that. God has blessed us, and we have grown tremendously. And even now, we're going to be on the other side of the pandemic as we move into our own space. But these are lease spaces. We don't own these spaces. These are lease spaces, and that's why we ain't fixing another thing. We are not fixing another carpet. We ain't fixing another door. We ain't fixing another air conditioning unit. We're not, because the company that owns these buildings don't fix nothing. And so we are right now saving, squirreling everything away we can, and we are just preparing to move into this new space. And we've got our construction company. We've got the land. It's 25 acres. It's like 3 miles from here. You go down Miami, take a left on 70, and not that far past the cookout. Eaters, we know where the cookout is. I know where it is. I love me some cookout anyway. Not too far past that, on the left, big stretch of forest over there. That's the new location for World Overcomers. We're going to build a building there that's not going to just be a church. It's going to be a sport complex. It's going to have basketball courts inside, and it's going to have fields on the outside. I got this food court idea I have. Our sanctuary is going to be in there, and I can see people from the community. It's not going to just impact us. It's going to impact the community. There are going to be people on the property all week long who don't even go to the church, and they're going to wonder, what is this? And somebody going to say, this is World Overcomers. And they're going to go in, and they're going to be able to look through and see the sanctuary while their kid is basketball practice, while their kid is at volleyball practice. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? I need you to help me. If you're watching around the world, I need you to be generous and give to the work of the kingdom of God. And I know it's an interesting time to be building something during a pandemic, but I'm believing God for sowers and not just eaters. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. You go to a church or tune into a church because you like what they do, but that's eating. You join a church, you become a member of a church, you tithe to a church, you give to a church because you find like-minded believers and you find a vision that inspires you to do something with your life besides just eat and drink Starbucks. And you decide, besides just Popeye sandwiches, I'm also going to take a part of what God gives me, and I'm going to sow it as a seed into the work of God, and not just expect a harvest, but just be excited. I got to be a part of something bigger than myself. I need your help. And I have faith that God is going to move. So if you have not made a pledge, hit that. You can get the pledge card and you can still make a pledge. $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000, whatever it is that you are able to do. It's not equal gifts, it's equal sacrifice. I want you to talk to the Holy Ghost and hear God speak to you about how you will sow into the project, because we are fast approaching. We're on our way. We're on our way. We're moving forward. And here we're ending up January, and we are moving forward, trying to get ready to break ground. And so we need you to be faithful, and we need you to be generous. Amen? 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 It's not the time to just be like, oh, well, I just go to the church and just sit there. This is not the time. If you just want to ride and not row, this is not the time. We need rowers. It's the ship of Zion. We need rowers. Stick your oar in the water and row with us. We have been at this place several times throughout the life of World Overcomers. first time we started World Overcomers, when we first started it in 2003, we were on Garrett Road in a little building that was about 8,000 square feet, sat about 400 people. And there were some people that were just coming just to eat, but we needed people to sell. You're only going to be but so powerful and only going to go but so far if you have only eaters. Oh, I just love the music. Praise God. Be a sower. I love Pastor Josh and Tam. Be a sower. I don't, this new guy. Who's this new guy? Who's this new dude? They that Pastor World Overcomers always got somebody. Awesome. Be a sower. Love the lights and the camera. And, oh, it's just that sound. And, great. Be a sower. Don't just be an eater. Because God provides seed for sowers and bread for eaters. So God is going to supply what you are. If all you are is an eater, God will provide bread for you if all you are is an eater. But you will be hungry again. I'm gonna make everybody clap for that. You will be hungry again. You will be hungry again. But if your perspective is only eater, got you. You want it now, got you. God will provide it. He says, that's how my word is, goes from my mouth. It will provide seed for the sower, bread for the eater. So if you only are an eater, then all you get from God is bread. If you want seed from God, you have to sow. If you want seed from life, you have to sow. Come on, let's pray. God, I pray for every sower right now. As I hold this tiny little seed in my hand, I pray for everyone that's giving a small seed. I pray for everyone that's giving a big seed. I pray for everyone, Lord God, that only has 5 to give, everyone that only has 10. I'm praying for everybody that has 50 to give, everybody that has 100 to give, everybody that has 1,000 to give, not just in this room, but around the world. God, I'm asking you to provide seed for your sowers. Don't let us just be eaters. Fill us full of yourself. Take this offering and multiply supernaturally to the upbuilding of your kingdom. And God, we're believing for jobs and better jobs and raises and benefits and bonuses and new businesses and doors to be opened that we could not open and ways to be made that we could not make. Be God in our situation. And we'll praise you. Thank you for Victory Park. Thank you for this vision that you've given us. Thank you that no devil, no pandemic, no sickness, no disease, nothing can stop us from doing what you're calling for us to do. We walk by faith and not by sight. Have your way in us. Kingdom of God come. Will of God be done in Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you as you give. As the bucket passes, you just jump on your feet or you made something with your phone and or you gave with the code and you can download the app today and it's just so easy for you to give. And we have done that. We have sowed and we have certainly, it's just amazing how the Lord has blessed us. And part of it is just through the technology of us just giving online, and it's easy for you to do that. Download the app and you can set your giving up. There was a time if it snowed and we missed a Sunday, that was the Pastor Al, them fighting words, that was, we missed no Sunday, we'd be upset. But now, as a result of where we are on the other side of it, as a result of where we are, World Overcomers, in terms of our technology and the giving online, people just giving. It's not something, you ain't got to risk your life to come to church. For all of you that came this morning, I trust you heard a word from the Lord. Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Anybody hear a word from the Lord? Good. Good. It's a good thing for us to praise the Lord and to hear a word from him. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you. 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 We sang, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Been so good. I just want to thank you. Thank you. for every mountain you brought us over, for every trial you saw us through, for every blessing. Hallelujah. For this we give you praise, and we give you praise for where you're taking us. We give you praise for where you're taking us as a church. We're giving you praise as for where you're taking us, every individual business owner, everyone with a dream, all of these students. God, we're believing a miracle from you, and as a result of it, make us sowers. Dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. Cover us with your blood. Use us for your glory. And God, as we always pray, bless your people. Make your face shine upon your people. Be gracious to your people. Give us peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. We all sit together. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming to church with us this morning. See you next Sunday.